You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai Show with Robert Lee and Paul Eales.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai Show as Roman Vettel secures his maiden European Tour title with victory at the KLM Open.
This week's been a very nice week for me. Not everything was in contention, I'd say, but my putting was really good all week and I just tried to play as smart as I could. Really happy to finish the tournament like this.
Kiradesh Afibanrat was involved in a dramatic duel with Vettel, but a cruel finish saw Austin Connolly claim second place.
It's definitely new territory for me. I'm just really, really blessed to have finished the way I did, especially with a day like today. I wish the weather had been like this all week, but just unbelievable. Great crowds, great fans. Look forward to coming back next year.
A review of the very best of the action from the Netherlands to come, plus we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Portugal Masters. I'm Robert Lee, and today I'm joined by a man who's won on the European Tour, Challenge Tour, and Senior Tour. He's got the treble up, the dream treble, Paul Eales. How are you, Paul?
I'm in great shape, Rob. Thanks for having me, and really enjoyed last week's event, the KLM Open, and a good winner.
Well, very the great winner. Thing is you enjoyed it by watching it, but soon you'll be playing it.
Well, we will be for the seniors in a couple of weeks' time. I hope we don't play off the tees that those boys played off.
There's Trust me. You won't be playing off those teams.
Excellent. That's good news. Yeah. Further forward for me, please.
Very good news. Roman Vettel has been a good player for a long time, Paul, but you never know if you're going to win until you do it, and I guess now he must be very relieved.
Yeah. I mean, what an amateur career he had. I think he represented Europe in all sorts of things. He won individual events in America. I think he won the Scottish Youth Championship. Then he won a Challenge Tour event as an amateur. So he obviously announced himself as somebody that could play. And what has been kind of disturbing is the fact that it's taken him so many years to knock off his first one on the European Tour.
Thing is, being a young French player, you're surrounded by so many good young French players. Eventually, at some point, if you don't get it done, you're going to sort of feel like you're missing the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was the best of the young French players, kind of. So whether he put extra pressure on himself, but he's been around. He's had his card. He's raced to Dubai sort of round about the 90th, 80th positions year on year. This year, he was really struggling. So this win's come at the right time for him.
Yeah, we might really see now the real Roman Vettel after that win, beating Austin Connolly by one stroke at the KLM Open. He's an amazing young player.
Yes, he is. Saw him at the Open Championship there, and there's nothing of him. He's a very, very slight young man, isn't he? And obviously a little underpowered when you look at him play, but what a game he's got.
Yeah, tremendous player, Austin Connolly, and I think we'll be here for a long, long time. But it was Afibanrat that went into the final round with the lead, and I think most people sort of thought that Kiradesh would get the job done.
Me too, but he hit it in the water on the back nine. Was it hole 15? And then, of course, he hit it in the water on 18, but he had to go for it. He was behind at that stage and a double bogey, and he finished at minus 12.
Well, Vettel wasn't the only Frenchman that was playing well, because rookie Joel Stalter made a very good account of himself through the week and was definitely involved.
Yes, he was, and he played well, and he looks very, very polished as well. I think he was leading after two rounds. Was it in Germany, BMW or something, earlier on in the year, and he faded away on the weekend, and unfortunately he had a poorish back nine on Sunday, but you know, good experience for him.
He faded slightly on the back nine. Vettel didn't, although he didn't make a bunch of birdies. His run of pars watched other people stumble.
Yeah, and it's that kind of golf course, isn't it? No, there was only Austin Connolly really was having a bit of a run at it, and I think for Romain, using his experience, should we say, over the years, he just knew that throwing a few pars at the scorecard was going to get him home, and it surely did.
Is Afibanrat going to kick himself because after he birdied 14... double 15, double the last.
Yeah, and errant shots into the water. But that's the type of golf course that it is at the Dutch. It can grab you at any time, and unfortunately just the errant shot at the wrong time, and it cost him big style.
How crucial was the up and down then for Roman at the last hole?
Oh, well, he just had to do it, obviously nervous with that approach shot going in there, but, you know, the chipping. And we say it every week, don't we? The guy who has the short game, holds the putts, he's the one that's going to win, and it proved so yesterday.
What's the best part of Vettel's game?
When I've watched him all round, he's just really, really good. He hits it long enough, he hits it straight enough, he putts well, even though he said the last couple of years he's not putted particularly well. He is a good putter. To win what he did as a kid, you have to hold putts, and hopefully this will be the springboard for better things for him.
Well, from absolutely nowhere, and I mean nowhere because he's basically missing his card, he gets the win, he gets all those points up on the Race to Dubai, but he gets all those points up on the chase for spots in the next Ryder Cup side, which is going to be at Le Golf National. How much do you think that, for him, will be an incentive to make the team?
I think it was probably in the back of his mind, but now it's really at the forefront of his mind because it's just round the corner. If he can have a good run of form now, you know, he can nail himself on to that team. And what better place for him to play than his own country in Paris. It'd be absolutely fantastic for everybody.
Well, I mean, Le Golf National, you're going there as well.
Yes.
What a life you lead.
Oh,
I mean, when
just...
I come back, I want to be Paul Eales.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I will fill...
But with cash.
I will fill those lakes up, there's no question. My golf balls don't float, and I try and do that every year, but they don't.
You're still trying to... way to lace the thought that you can get it up and down from water hazard.
In fact, you can't. It doesn't happen.
No, very rarely anyway, unless you're Sergio Garcia. In fact, we'll talk about that later. So I should mention that Austin Connolly had 6 birdies in the closing 66. That's why he finished second on 14 under par with Stalter, German Sebastian Heisler, English pair Eddie Pepperell and Lee Westwood, and South Africans George Coetzee and Justin Walters all tying for third, a shot further back. So some social media reaction from Matthew Pavon. He said, so happy for this guy, he really deserves it. Alex Levy said, bravo, Roman Vettel, you deserve it. A lot of deserving going on, Paul.
Yes.
Never happened in my day.
No.
And Joost Louten said, thanks, Kellen, for another great event. That's exactly what you should do as a European Tour player. Thank the sponsor. Well done, Joost Louten. Roman Vettel is a great new winner. Also, thanks to all the volunteers. I will be back strong next year. Very nicely done, Joost Louten. OK, let's hear from the new KLM Open champion, Roman Vettel.
This week's been a very nice week for me. Not everything was in contention, I'd say, but my putting was really good all week, and I just tried to play as smart as I could. At the end, that's a W. I'm really happy with it.
It's a great reaction there when we saw you on 18. You're the first French winner of this tournament since 1933, and you've now got an exemption till the end of 2019. So with the win comes all the success that you would expect.
Yeah, but I was leading after three rounds, I think 4 years ago. That was not on this course. So I knew the feeling of leading or to be in contention and to be in the last group on the final day. That helped me a lot, and... Well, I'm really happy to finish the tournament like this.
Well, he had 25 top 10s in 186 events before this win in the Netherlands. He becomes the third Frenchman to win the KLM Open and the first to win it since 1933. Wow, that's a long time ago. And he moves into the top 200 in the world rankings from 451st position and also climbs into the top 60 in the Race to Dubai. So, as always, and it's quite right, Paul, with the win, you get the trinkets.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, he's been a good player for a number of years. You know, to have played 187 European Tour events speaks volumes anyway, even though he's only had a couple of second spots. But he's experienced enough, took his chance when it came. I mean, he's played 7 times in the KLM Dutch Open, missed the cut 5 times, and he's had a fifth. And then, of course, he wins. So it's kind of nice for him to go to Holland.
Don't the French boys speak English beautifully, though? If you think all the way back to Thomas Levay, Jean Van der Velde, Gregory Avray now is still playing.
Well, Gregory mentors Roman, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In a little way. So, and he finished runner-up in the US Open a few years ago, didn't it, Gregory? So
He finished second to Graham McDowell.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach, yeah. Almost made the playoff.
Strong system through the French Federation, you know, all the way through from the juniors, that's both boys and girls. And there's no surprise to me that they've got such accomplished players when they actually make it onto the stage of the European Tour and how well they play year in, year out.
Well, the whole country's got a golf consciousness. France has got that. And, you know, they're involved at sort of club and local level with their bid for the Ryder Cup, and they're going to be, you know, justly rewarded with what is going to be, it might be the best Ryder Cup ever in terms of venue.
Oh, I think venue-wise, yes, certainly, and it will be prepared, and certainly playing those last few holes with the water all around and the pressure of a Ryder Cup, we could see some errant shots.
Well, with the sort of gallows humour around, in the crowd, with the partisan crowds both ways, the last few holes there are going to be just sensational.
It's going to be brilliant. It really is.
If you were playing in a Ryder Cup match and you're at Le Golf National in a year's time, the trick is get your match finished before you come over the top of the hill and hit the 15th tee.
That's
right. Make sure it's over in your favour.
One way or the other.
Otherwise, there'll be a lot of going on, yeah. Okay, to the rest of the leaderboard now. And Austin Connolly, he shot that 5 under par 66, as I've said, to finish second, much to the Canadians' relief.
I played exceptionally well today and was very fortunate to get some putts to go in, which was you know, just makes the biggest difference. Really takes the pressure off the round. You know, this was a big week for me. I've got, you know, really only one more event that I'm secured in for this year, and so obviously needing to make some money to get my card for next year. It's just, I'm very pleased with how I played this week.
It's about to say, sometimes it's not just about winning events, is it? It's about finishing as high up the leaderboard when you're in a certain position and you're looking to secure a card for next year.
There's no question. That's always in the back of your mind when you're in that position. So it's my first time being in that position. You know, I haven't been a professional for that long, so it's definitely new territory for me. And I'm just really, really blessed to have finished the way I did, especially with a day like today. I wish the weather had been like this all week, but just unbelievable. Great crowds, great fans, and yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back next year.
Austin Connolly, he does actually look like somebody sneaked out of school.
Yes, he does, and he's a slight built man. But when it comes to playing golf, he doesn't go away on a Sunday. You know, played in the, I think he was second to last group at the Open Championship.
Oh, and didn't disgrace himself.
Did not disgrace himself in any way. And he was the only one that really had a run at winning the KLM, wasn't he? You know, 66, all those birdies he had, obviously putts well. He isn't blessed with the greatest of power in terms of length off the tee, but he makes up for it in other departments, and he certainly knows how to get the ball in the hole.
He's obviously mentally very strong, and I was really impressed with him, actually. And to finish second when you need to, with, you know, limited goes at it, make enough money to get your card, it's a tremendous performance.
Job secured, isn't it, for next year anyway, and he can have a real run at it now, and I'm sure we'll see him atop of some leaderboards in 2018.
Same coach as Jordan Spieth?
That's right, down in Texas there, so there's something going on there, a little bit of synergy and an environment there.
Synergy, yeah. You said that with a bit of lip curl, I quite like that.
Yeah.
You can imagine this coach saying, now look, I've got this other chap, Spieth, you know, we try and get you up to Spieth's level. It's great to have someone like that shoot at when you're getting taught by the same guy.
Well, that's right. And of course, being around Jordan Spieth, one of the best in the world,
he might have the best mind in the world. I reckon he's got the best mind in the world, Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. That's a good point.
Well, you look how he won the Open. I mean,
yeah.
It would have beaten every other man in that field. They would not have come back from that.
Close to madness, though, Rob.
Oh, I think there's a little bit of that. You know, genius is close to madness.
Yes, yeah, and he's a genius, certainly.
And that's why people think we're mad, but that we're only just slightly away from it.
Yeah.
Just so close to genius, Paul, but definitely on the wrong end of the scale. Lee Westwood was one of a number of players who finished tied for third on 13 under par, and the Englishman was delighted with his performance.
I played lovely again. A real positive week on the whole. It's as good as I've played for a couple of years, really, as good as I've struck the ball. So I'm delighted with that, and a lot of positives to take from it. Best result of the year, and looking forward to the British Masters, obviously.
Seemed to be a lot of consistency across the week. You know, a lot of birdies on the cards as well, and in the conditions that we've had as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been the easy, especially at the start of the week, but I thought the last couple of days has been there for the scoring. But this golf course, you've got to hit it straight. If you don't, you know, you can get into trouble. The green complexes are very undulating, and you've got to be on the right parts of them. So I'm pleased with the way I'm hitting it, and all moving in the right direction.
How nice for Lee to get back on a bit of form before he hosts the British Masters.
Really good week for Lee. And of course, no surprise, with the golf course the way it is and the design of the greens, you're looking for a guy that can hit irons close time after time after time. And there's nobody finer with the irons than Lee Westwood. Drives it straight. And as he said there, the best he's played in a number of years. And he'll take great heart from that going up to close house.
Without question. And his caddy, Billy Foster, obviously will be delighted to see him playing something more like we should be seeing him play.
Yeah, and I think that the frustrations come from Lee because he doesn't hold the putts. You know, the chances that he gets, you know, if he has an Austin Connolly round where he can hold a few putts, then, you know, Lee's going to be in the low 60s every time he plays. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the way for him.
The guys who hit lots of greens, they always seem to be the guys that don't make as many putts. But that's because, in general, they're further away.
Slightly further away, yeah. But
it can be deceiving.
It can be, but ultimately, you know, the guy that wins is going to hold most of the putts, isn't he?
Yeah, that's very true. Paul, top 10 from the KLM Open, please.
Okay, Rob. Joint ninth place, Chris Wood, Matt Wallace, Kiradech Appibarnrat, Joachim Lagergren and Bernd Wiesberger. Tied third, Justin Walters, Lee Westwood, Eddie Pepperell, George Kutsia, Sebastian Heisler and Joel Stalter. Second place, Austin Connolly, and our winner of the KLM Dutch Open was Romain Wattel.
Just to mention that Mikko Ilonen registered the 1,000th hole-in-one in European Tour history with an ace at the 14th hole during the second round. Paul, have you ever had one in a tournament?
Yes, I have.
Oh, have you?
I had one at Wentworth at the second in the BMW.
Prize?
Nothing.
Excellent.
And I had a German Open hole-in-one, which again was at the wrong hole, and the Mercedes car was on hole 14 or something like that. So missed out twice. Delighted I was.
How many ones have you had? That's competition ones. How many ones have you had?
Two more, but they were pro-ams. Do they count as competitions?
Four
in competitions.
Even a bounce game with your mates, if you knocked it in the hole, I count it as a hole-in-one.
Oh, yeah. A hole-in-one's a hole-in-one, isn't it?
So you had four?
Four in that, and then three in practice.
Oh, three in practice?
As well, yeah.
Shot, not second ball.
First one at Royal Lytham. How about that? Opening shot of the day, Royal Lytham.
First shot of the day, in?
In.
Oh, I would have walked in.
Well, I should have done.
I can't better that.
Downhill after that.
I cannot better that. I'd have to go in now. Two under after one. See ya. I've never had one. There we are.
Sevi never had a hole in one, did he?
I don't know about ever.
Oh, right.
I don't think he ever had one in a competition.
I remember Des Smith tells a great story with Sevi, and Sevi had said to him, Des, and how many holes in one have you had? And Des said, oh, over the years, 23, 24. And Sevi paused, looked at him and said, you, Des Smith, me, Sevi Ballesteros, none. How is this?
How is this possible? For me, it's not possible. Sevi, bless him. Wish he was here. Well, Ilonen's hole-in-one came at the 14th, which for the second year in a row was used to beat the pro, where the fans joined the pros in the closest to pin competition on the 133-yard par 3. Now, I witnessed this last year. Stood in the tee and interviewed a few of the punters as they came through with the players. It was really, really popular.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know whether you saw the footage, but there was a young 8-year-old boy stood up there. He had a wood in his hand and he whacked it onto the apron of the green, and the players just went absolutely nuts with the young lad. And, of course, he's walking up and he's waving at the crowd as he gets up to the green. Brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Because if you hit a great shot, you do have... It's almost like a little stadium, the way they surround the whole hole. So as an amateur, you tee off under the pressure on the tee, and then if you hit a great shot, you've got 150 yards to enjoy the walk.
That's right.
It's unique, isn't it?
And he did. He was waving.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Brilliant stuff.
Well, Lee Westwood said it's a very good initiative.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I don't think the pros mind it at all. And, it encourages people to come and watch. I love it when the kids ever go. They're the future of the game, and it's good to get them involved and playing in front of thousands of people. And it's great for everybody. I think it's brilliant.
Now, fancy race to the buy tips. Dan Roebuck goes to every single length that he can think of to make sure he gets it right. Does all the study. It takes him ages to pick two players. And he went for Fabrizio Zanotti, who's been on good form lately. Tied 38th at 5 under par. And Aaron Rye, miscut +3 from the young maestro. John Hawksworth had Thomas Detry, also tied 38th at -5. And Chris Hansen tied 25th at -7. The tipsters have been not on form, Paul, may I say, recently.
No, well, we've got
poor tipping.
We've got ours to come, Rob, so I'm saying nothing.
All right. Well, in the fancy race to the buy game, Elizabeth H has retaken the lead at the top of the overall standings, while James Johnston scored the most points this week after selecting Roman Vettel as his captain. Meanwhile, in our race to the buy show mini league, listener Neil McGregor registered the most points this week, but it's another Neil Morrison, who still tops the leaderboard. Any good for you, Paul, this week?
Not for me, no. I had Joost Luiten, who missed the cut. But Lee Westwood. I had Lee Westwood in there. I think Lee might have been my captain.
I have 5 cup makers, and I had Afi Barnrat, who led going into the last round. And I thought this could be big points.
Yeah.
Not to be.
Two
doubles the last four holes for
ouch.
Afi Barnrat. That was a massive ouch. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at this week's Portugal Masters. So, Paul, top 10 in the race to Dubai, please.
In 10th place is Rory McIlroy. 9th, Bernd Wiesberger. 8th is Ross Fisher. 7th, Justin Rose. 6th, Francesco Molinari. 5th, Alex Norin. 4th is Rafa Cabreiro Bello. 3rd, Jon Rahm. 2nd, Sergio Garcia. And still at the top, Tommy Fleetwood.
And in other news, Frenchman Julien Guerrier sealed a fantastic day for French golf by claiming the Irish Challenge, hosted by Mount Wolseley Hotel, Spa and Golf Resort. After Roman Vettel's victory in the Netherlands, Guerrier finished 6 shots clear of the chasing pack to win his second Challenge Tour event. And on the PGA Tour, Australia's Mark Leishman saw off Justin Rose to win the BMW Championship by 5 shots at Conway Farms in Illinois, just outside Chicago. The result sees both qualify for the season-ending Tour Championship. However, one man who will not be there is defending champion Rory McIlroy, who needed a top-four finish, ended up 58th tied, 21 shots behind Leishman. Justin Rose, a very good performance, Paul.
Brilliant from Justin Rose. A solid week for him, as they say. 67, 68, 66, 65. What can you say about Justin? He just churns them out week in, week out, doesn't it? It's nothing spectacular. Very professional. Putted really well, certainly on the final day. Had a run at it, but unfortunately Mark Leishman was just too good for everybody this week.
And Rory's got to find some fitness and he's got to find a run of golf. He's just not had a run of golf. Everything's been staccato, stop, start, stop, start. He needs a rest now and then come out next year firing. Well,
it's one of those, Rob, isn't it? Yes, he needs a rest, but he also needs to play some golf, yep. Like you say, a staccato type. But hopefully we might see a little bit more of him in Europe now that he's missed out on the FedEx Cup final there. Hopefully so for us. It's difficult to know unless you really know the medical situation of
Rory.
Yeah,
if he's fit, it'd be good if he played a little bit before Christmas.
Yeah, but you know what it's like. You need to play, don't you,
to find
that form, and you never know.
Can't find it on the range.
Roman showed us last week, didn't he? He's had a poor run of form and suddenly is a win, and Rory's more than capable of that.
And Sergio Garcia made a crucial par up the last, and it was some par at the par five after hitting his second shot in the water.
Yeah, I think I went and put a cup of tea on and maybe had two cups of teas before he actually dropped out of the...
I think it was 20 minutes to...
Something like that. It was in a water hazard on 18 at the grandstand.
He was right at the far end of the water hazard, and basically his ball was against the rock in the hazard, and he said, the way I'm going to play this away from the green, hitting the ball into the rock to bounce it past me back onto the green behind me, my club's going to catch the side of the hoarding that's the start of the grandstand. So if I play it this way and catch the grandstand, I get relief. I'd never seen that before. I must say, it was very inventive.
Yeah, imagination, but that's what we've said.
I mean, the rules official came in there and he got relief. He dropped it a couple of times, then placed it on the rocks, smashed it over the back of the green, chipped and putted, made his five. Made the Tour Championship.
Tour Championships, which is what he needed to do.
And we should give a special mention to Jon Rahm as well, who finished fifth and made sure of his fifth position in his rookie season, by the way, on the PGA Tour. So he, along with the other four, including Mark Leishman, Jordan Spieth, who's leading the rankings, Dustin Johnson, there is one more, those top five, if they win, it doesn't matter what the others do. If you win in the top five, you win the FedEx Cup. You win the whole thing.
And what a year that would be for Jon Rahm.
I wouldn't put it past him.
And, no, absolutely.
And what you've got to remember about Jon Rahm is he's playing venues he's never played before.
Yeah.
He does not know these places. And he's competing. That's what makes it remarkable. It's not second, third year stuff. It's straight out the bat.
Brilliant stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Top 10 this week in the official world golf rankings. In 10th place, Sergio Garcia. 9th, Henrik Stenson. 8th, Rory McIlroy. 7th, Ricky Fowler. 6th, Jason Day. 5th, Jon Rahm. 4th, Justin Thomas. 3rd, Hideki Matsuyama. 2nd is Jordan Spieth. And the top of the lot, again, number 1 in the world rankings, Dustin Johnson.
OK, now it's time to look ahead to this week's event on the European Tour, the Portugal Masters at Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course in Vilamoura in the Algarve in Portugal. You may have played this venue.
Yes, I have, and certainly not as well as these guys. I cannot believe the scores that these fellas shoot around this golf course. It really is remarkable stuff, year in, year out.
Because they kill the par fives.
They do, but also, you know, the course is usually in good condition, and the rough the last few years hasn't been as thick, so hopefully we'll see. But I think the summer that they've had down there, I'm not expecting lush rough anywhere around that golf course.
Padraig Harrington is defending champion. He'll be back there. Arnold Palmer designed golf course, 7,273 yards, which, if you're a long hitter, it's a beautiful place to play golf. This
it is.
You can just open the shoulders and let it go.
Yeah, which I do off those forward tees.
Of course, and with, you know, a certain amount of run, you can get it past the 200-yard mark. Get it to those yellow spots, the solid yellow spots.
Oh, yes.
But it's a fair test, though.
It's a very, very good test. You have to golf your ball, but again, you see the lads year in, year out. Like you say, Rob, they kill the par fives, putt nicely, but that 18th's a really, really strong hole. You can't miss the fairway right because there's water down the left. Water comes into the front of the green, but we've seen some...
You don't want to bail in the bunkers on the right, do you?
You can't do that, no. Yeah. So it's just a really, really tough finishing hole, and those that are long enough, I mean, we see them at 17, the par 5, banging on into quite easily. But again, that's a tough hole with water all the way down the right. So
and which is drivable, 15 or 16? There's a par 4, they can knock it on there and... make a two.
Yeah, they can do. I think that's 15,
I think
isn't
it's
15. 16's a par three.
Remember Tom Lewis holding a great putt on that green when he won for the first time there. It's an interesting golf course. And as you say, the scoring normally, if the weather's good, is very good indeed.
Yeah, it's spooky off the charts. And the greens are normally beautiful, but they are difficult. There's some real slopes and undulations in them, but these guys find out the flat spots, get it close to the pin and hold the putts.
Give us an idea who's playing.
Well, we've got Thomas Peters. He would be my number one. So while you're going to ask for a pick, Robert, I'm going to go for Thomas Peters. Robert Carlton's in there, Danny Willett. He's having a game this week. Russell Knox coming over. Shane Lowry, they've finished their run in America, so they're over to play. Torbjörn Olofsson's playing. Joost Luiten again, who I thought was going to have a good run at his home title last week. He's in the field. So again, stellar field, really.
So you got a hankering for Thomas Peters?
Yeah, I think with his length and he's just been quiet over the last few weeks, I think Thomas will be in there. But interesting, there's...
Why is he streaky? Why is Thomas Peters so streaky? Because when I watch him play, I think world number one. This kid is going to be world number one. And then he kind of goes off the boil and you don't... He's playing, but you don't see or hear of him. And then he comes back and you think, this guy's the best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him when he's played poorly, Rob. Or I'm like you, I've only ever seen him when he's looked like a world number one player. So I'm not really sure what happens when things go awry. But like you say, a little bit more consistency from him we would like to see. But it's interesting enough, there are four of the GB and I Walker Cup players that... unfortunately, didn't win over in the States. They're in the field. Conor Syme from Scotland, Alfie Plant, Jack Davidson from Wales, and Jack Singbrough from England. They're all in the field. So that'll be nice for those guys to come back and play in a European Tour event.
And Shane Lowry's back across because he's not played that much in Europe this year, and Russell Knox as well.
Yeah, no, I think they're obviously both concentrating on the PGA Tour, but it's nice to see them back. And certainly Shane Lowry has the power to shoot some really low scores round here in Portugal.
Thing is, once you get past the FedEx Cup, which you may or may not be going right through to the end, that's kind of our time then because, you know, a lot of PGA Tour events wind down before they start the start of their season, so we might see a few more coming across.
Great news for us in Europe, isn't it, to see these great players coming back over and hopefully we'll see them at the top of the leaderboard come Sunday.
And Thomas Bjorn is in the field, of course. He wants to play well, so he's there at the weekend so he can see a lot of these kids under pressure, because there's no doubt about it, if you've got aspirations to be a Ryder Cup player and Thomas Bjorn, the captain, is with you on a weekend... You definitely feel like you're in an interview.
Yeah, it's a tall order for Thomas to be around on a weekend, certainly at the sharp end of things on a Saturday and a Sunday. He's got so many things that he needs to do in his role as Ryder Cup captain. But he'll certainly be there at the start of the week, chatting to the guys, seeing them. He'll be talking to the caddies with the experience, who's playing well, what's going on. There'll be nothing that Thomas Bjorn misses.
And also, we're getting to the part of the year, Paul, where if you're outside the top 100, this is where the pressure's really on. So this is going to be a massive week for a lot of people who made it into the field.
Oh, for sure. And like we said last week, you know, you mentioned it, Romain Wattel was nowhere near retaining a card, yet he wins and bangs straight into the top 100 and, of course, his exemption going forward. So there'll be a lot of guys feeling a lot of pressure over these next few weeks.
So your banker for the week is Thomas Peters.
Yes, it is.
Shock. Who's your sort of value bet?
My value bet... now then, I'm going to go for Dean Burmeister. I think the South Africans always do well, and I like the way Dean plays. He's just been a little quiet the last few weeks from what we've seen, and I think he could go well this week.
OK, I'm going to counter your Thomas Peters with Shane Lowry. He's my captain for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen him go well here before. It's scratching around in my head. I'd have to look it up, but I think Shane's played well here before. So I'm going to go Shane Lowry, and I'm sticking with the French theme. I'm not going with Roman. I'm going to go with Alex Levy.
Oh, yes.
See, that's my two.
I like it.
I mean, they're hardly outsiders, I would say.
No.
I don't think that, you know, both proven winners. I wouldn't say they're exactly outsiders, but that's my... You know, I looked at what Roebuck managed and Hawksworth managed last week, and I don't think we've got a lot to beat, Paul, to be honest.
No, hopefully
if we
not.
Can't do better than those two, it's time to sort of hang up the boots.
And a big shout out to Jonathan Thompson from Rotherham Golf Club, who's got a game this week as an invitation. Jonathan, 6'7".
And he, 6'7"?
6'7", and he played ever so well.
That's taller than Peter Crouch.
Yeah, played ever so well in Czechoslovakia a couple of weeks ago. So good luck, Jigger.
Maybe we're... going to get to the sort of the advent of really tall people playing again? Because I Heisler looked to be pretty tall to me. I don't know how tall he was, but I've got to say he looked, Sebastian looked like he was
fit and strong. And
yeah,
and
you know, rangy, 6'4", 6'5". I'd have to find out. You know, Chris Wood is 6'6", I think.
Yeah, but then you've got Austin Connolly. Just to counter you there, Rob.
Lesser stature, you mean?
Lesser stature.
Well, you're sticking up for the...
little guy.
The sub-5'7", aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, good for you. That's it for now. Next week, we will review events in Portugal and also look ahead to the British Masters supported by Sky Sports, hosted by Lee Westwood, who's back to form. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you are downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, for Paul Eales, who's gone for...
Thomas Peters and Dean Burmeister.
And myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Alex Levy and my captain, Shane Lowry. We'll see you next time.